Okay, good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2, Tango, Tango, Tango. And this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Okay, TechNet is brought to you by the Bergen Amateur Radio Association through the courtesy of the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club. It's their repeater that we borrow for this purpose. And you need not be a member of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association in order to participate in the net. This net is operated weekly, and you only need to have an amateur radio license that allows you to operate in this here 2-meter band, as they say. The net is a little different than the other nets, and we encourage all amateur radio operators who are licensed to participate. As you'll find out, we have a kind of a different slant on things at this net than some of the others that you're more perhaps acquainted with. Okay, so with that in mind, the way with this net operates is that we operate with the purpose of discussing amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunications, things in our society that depend on all those wonderful things, and pretty much let's talk about anything you want, if you think about it. So, like someone asked one day, can we talk about religion? I said, sure, what do you have in mind? And they said, Vatican Radio. And I said, sure. Founded by the Jesuits. We had a whole discussion about the Jesuits and technology through the centuries. But anyway, let's hope we don't go down that road tonight. Anyway, with that fun thought in mind, however, we really are looking forward to anybody's technical topics or even operational topics, any questions, anything that you've interested in amateur radio but never quite got a handle as to what it is. There are no stupid questions here. There are only silly people who don't answer, who don't, you know, ask a question. So we ask that you check in with your call sign, your name, and indicate whether or not you have a question, a comment, both, or none of the above. It's really important that you check in even if you don't have a question or comment, because you become part of the audience that we focus on, our you and others as well, the other people who checked in. So with that in mind, let's begin. Stations whose call signs begin with the letter Alpha, please call K2 Bravo Alpha India. Bravo Alpha Romeo, there we go. Oh, good. Get BAI. Speaking of radio stations, please call K2 BAR. All right. Nothing heard. I had my radical radio moment here for the night. Stations whose call signs begin with the letter November, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment, both or none of the above, please call K2BAR.
K2BAR. This is NS2K Jim, and no questions at this point.
Okey-doke. Hi, Jim. Good evening to you. Any other Novembers? Okey-doke. How about their ever-popular whiskey stations? Please call K2BAR.
J-E-K, Don, no question.
Good evening, Don. Any other whiskeys? Okay. Now that they're ever-popular, stations whose call signs begin with the letter Kilo followed immediately by the number 2. Robert, any other stations whose call signs begin with Kilo followed immediately by the number 2?
Kilo 2, Zulu, Charlie, Dave, White.
Okay, Dave, nice to hear you. Not a problem. Any other Kilo 2s? All right, any other Kilos, any flavor? Please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, both, a question or a comment, or a question, a comment, or both, or none of the above, whatever.
This is KC2PYB, Richard, no questions or comments at this time.
Yoke. Good evening, Richard. Any other Kilos?
KO2, okay. Bennett. No questions or comments at this moment.
Okay.
Lima. Mike.
With a question.
Yay, and hello, Mr. Mike. Good hearing you.
All right, any other kilos?
Okay, any other call signs, any flavor, any type, please call K2BAL. Alrighty, well, I know we have some announcements too, but let's get right into the question first. We'll go from there. K2FBL, Mr. Mike, your question, K2BAR.
Thank you, Gordon, and good evening to everyone on the net. I recently purchased the Aerotron 11H sleigh to go with it for my wondering too late, and I hope it, oh, well, you know, I should have done that.
Okay, let's think about that. You're attaching an Aerotron HF amplifier to what kind of radio again?
To the Yaesu 857D.
Okay. And like most, if not all, of these solid-state radios, you have a requirement to have a limited amount of pull and a limited voltage capability on your amplifier keying line coming out of your radio. So, I guess the first question is, what are the keying requirements for the Aerotron? And is it really capable of supplying that with comfort, or should there be a buffer relay in between?
Well, I bought the relay and the cable. I wasn't taking any chances one way or the other. It was suggested to me by RNL that that's usually the way it goes, so I bought the relay, and I'm going to hook that up in line.
Okay. So tell me about this relay gizmachi. It's a cable with a relay already on it, and you just bought it as an assembly. It plugs into the back of the radio. The other end plugs directly into the amplifier. It takes care of all the keying, and all you have to do is, you know, run coax between the radio and the amplifier, and all the TR switching for both the radio and the amplifier are internal to each, with one coax between the two.
I assume so. I have not opened up the box to the relay because I just really unboxed the amplifier to take a look at it. I'm not really ready to set it up. But I figured while I have this time, I might as well ask the questions before it's too late.
That's very prudent of you. All right, so let's do a little bit of, you know, swapping here. Do you have the part number for the relay assembly?
Not in front of me, but it's easy enough for me to walk into the other room and grab it.
Yeah, because there's lots of stories of people buying, you know, assemblies that are not quite suitable to the game. There are also people who don't even bother, and they just connect the radio to the amplifier, and you know the rest. It's pretty ugly. Pull out the internal relay or radio, and it's very expensive and very annoying. So I'd just be curious as to what you have, and that sounds great. While we're waiting, does anybody want to pipe up with their horror story or their success story of TR switching for amplifiers? I'd be very curious about QSK operation, and we haven't figured out from Mike's tale here whether or not full break-in keying is possible, but that's always interesting, especially with an amplifier. And so I'd be curious about that as well. So if anyone wants to tell a story, go right ahead. Give me a call, K2BAR.
NS2K.
NS2K, go.
Actually, a few years ago at VHF contest, our good friend, I'll be kind. we improvised a relay to go between Nikom and another amplifier that had, how should I say, rather high voltage keying. was that Ira had donated a small relay out of the back of his truck, and it worked rather nicely, and solved that problem. And anyway, I think that was the first time I had done the VHF contest. In any case, in more recent years, another member of VERA had improvised a thing, and unfortunately he got it wrong, which worked fine as long as it was powered by the by an independent power supply. Oh yeah, his worked fine as long as it was on an independent power supply. But the moment he plugged it into the same power supply that ran the radio on one of the power strips, the fact that they were all on the same ground was a serious issue, and it caused the how should I say 12 volts to be shorted through the relay to ground. Anyway, fortunately, there was a fuse in the circuit, and it did pop the fuse, and only did apparently moderate damage to the relay and the radio. So, anyway, that was kind of exciting there for a little bit. So, yeah, be careful when you design this thing, and it will serve you very well. NS2K.
Yeah, I would dare say. Anybody else have a story? Yeah, I'm going to tell you my story. I used to have four, but I think I got rid of two of them. I currently have two boxes, and they are totally, totally isolating switch boxes. They have a little tiny reed relay that can be driven by the back of a radio, and those reed relays in turn switch a four-pole relay. Now, as a practical matter, I don't have both sides wired, but I do have four outputs, closure output, and closure on transmit. So when the radio closes, it triggers the reed relay closes the other relay, and then you end up with four independent closures on the output side. It all works fine. Now, the boxes I put this in is plastic. And that's to address the question that Jim just brought up. Because, yeah, there is a 12-volt input for it. It's the gold one with the red, red insulation on it. And everything else is, I forget what color the input trigger side is. It might be gold with white, and the outputs might just be, silver phono connectors with whatever insulation they have, but they're very distinctively set up. So back in those days, 15 years ago, that's more than 20 years ago, actually. 20 years ago, when I started setting up my VHF station and for contesting, a lot of things used phono connectors for power input, including, by the way, the Downey microwave transverters. So that's where that came from. So all the switching, all the power is all phono connectors. So you had to be very, very careful as to what you had. And in my case, what I did was I actually color-coded the bands, so cables used for certain bands would have certain colors as well. It was really well thought out. Anyway, that's pretty much it. So you had bands, you had power. All power cables were red, no other color. Nothing else was red, I think. No cable and connectors. So it kind of worked out that way. So anyway, I still have two of those boxes, and I'm saving them for a reactivation of my transverter stack. So, with that in mind, let's send it over to Mike and see what the model number is of his little toy, but we can discuss that in specific. K2PL, K2PAR.
Okay, the cable is the American Electron cable to plug in from the amp directly to the back of the radio. You have to excuse my voice. I'm getting over the flu. So I have little highs and lows that I just can't hit. Excuse me. The amplifier itself, you know, plugs into this. This is the Numeritron relay, which is the ARB-704. So it's made for that. It's made the interface between the radio and the linear. And they gave me an assortment of different cables, but I had to buy the other cable in order to be able to make it fit the back of the radio, because the 857 has the standardized cables on it, which we use for linear or automatic tuner, depending on what you need. But that's the story.
All right, so the nomenclature you gave us is the nomenclature for the cable assembly that did the trick with all the relay capability, et cetera, in it?
No, the cable assembly is a PNP8M, which is the cable assembly for the 857 to the linear box, to the linear relay. The linear relay is the ARB-704. So we're going from the linear to the relay, and then from the relay to the 857. So the 857 to the relay uses the PNP-8M cable. From the linear itself to the relay, I assume it uses one of the other cables which are included with the relay, which are phono cables.
Okay. So PNP, Papa November Papa hyphen 8 Mike, does a nice search and comes up with a PDF file right on the Ameritron site, and explains all that good stuff. And yeah, looks like your interface for your 817, 84C, 89C, and the ARB-7C4, which is what you mentioned before, which is the assembly that allows you to essentially have that relay isolation. It's marvelous. Just out of curiosity, how much do they charge you for the two pieces, do you know?
Everything, I can't remember exactly, but everything all together was under $840, I believe it was. And they were actually the cheapest of anybody. I shopped around, and R&L came up with the cheapest price of all of them. HRO, my friend loves them, and he says, you know, go to HRO because it's free shipping. And then I go to HRO, and it's not free shipping. They add on a fee to the shipping because of the weight. And everybody, yada, yada, yada. By the time you add on all of the little knickknacks and what have you, R&L was still the cheapest, and I like dealing with R&L, so I dealt with them. And, you know, the thing I liked really good about R&L is it was like pulling hen's teeth to get the 10-meter, modification. They wouldn't give it out, and they know who I am, but they wouldn't give it out worth a hoot until they were 100% sure that they had my license on file. And you know what? To me, that's the best thing in the world.
Okay. Very good. And what did you buy, the AL811XCE?
I bought the 811AH, I believe it is, the 4-tube, 120 volts.
Okay.
very good. You know, they make some nice stuff. They really, really do. Oh, very good. Congratulations. You have the ALA11 in one form or another. That's great. The list price of this thing is $800, so not a bad deal for a few watts of, protection as it were on the bands. Good for you. That's an export version. So yeah, you bought the domestic 110 volt version. I gotcha. Alrighty. So, anybody else has comments about switching? Amplifiers and things like that.
KO2, okay.
Hey, Bennett.
Oh, Gordon. I think on that relay box for the amplifier, there's some switching to do to set it up, depending on the radio you connect. Other than that, it's just pretty straightforward wiring, but I think there's a switch or two or a jumper or something that has to be set, depending on the type of radio and the switching that's being done with the radio. Otherwise, it's pretty straightforward. And although you have an ALC on your amplifier, I forget what's on the relay box, you probably won't use it. You don't need it with solid-state radios. It was really meant for tube radios that could go above 100 watts, and you didn't want to overdrive the amplifier. But I don't think you're going to need it for your YAESU-857. Good luck with it. Back to net KO2, okay.
Okay, very good. The model in question that Mike has bought is the AL811 Hotel. It's a 4 tubes, 120 volt model. I'm just downloading the manual now to check to see if it'll do break-in. I would have thought it would have said break-in because I know some of the AL80s have a break-in option. You can buy a little module for it, or you can buy it. It changes the model number. That sounds great. Really is. So you'll have a nice time with that 800 watt amplifier. That's always exciting. Anyway, let's see what else I want to mention. Bennett's advice was sound as well. Mike, you want to say anything?
A quick comment.
Go ahead, Bennett.
I think for most of the tube amplifiers that MSJ or Ameritron offers, they have an add-on QSK kit or box, their QSK5 option. So I don't know if any of them, tube models offer QSK. Just a comment. KO2, okay.
You're saying there is a module that will allow you to operate in QSK mode, or are you saying that because it's a tube amplifier, you can't?
I'm just saying on Ameritron and MSJ amps, I think all the tube amps can use the QSK, so they offer a QSK5 option, which is their module for adding QSK to their amplifier.
I gotcha. Okay. I saw in the AL80s, and let me just check the 811s. I don't see that, but okay. Still, it's a very, very slick little toy. It's even the 80s, but not the 11s. But I'm just trolling through the manual here for this thing, too, just in case. It's very nice. Mike, I think you're going to have a lot of fun with this amplifier. You won't have trouble getting acknowledged, I'll tell you that right now. That's the other good news. You want to get on the air and operate, you're going to be able to get on the air and operate, and that's going to be that. It's a good thing.
Well, I thank you. I thank you all. One thing I'm waiting once we put up the beam, really, before I hook it up. We're getting that TA-33. And once it warms up a little bit outside, we're going to put that up. tri-band 10, 15, 20. So I'll hook this up right around that time. And this way at least I think I'll have a lot of fun between the two of them. But I've got this quirky thing in the back of my head that with things like this, I don't like to push them more than 50%. When I had my 101, I wouldn't push it more than 50% of what it could do. And when I sold it, I don't even remember how many years later, my tubes were in mint condition. They were like it was brand new. And many, many years later, I always gotten this thing about that. So this amplifier will not see more than 400 watts at the very most. Probably keep around 3. And I don't think I really need to do more than that anyhow. I think that's really, you know, more than enough for an amp, especially with a beam. So should be a lot of fun.
Okay, well, that's good. Could anybody else have any comments about amplifiers?
400 watts is only one S unit down, K2ZL.
As opposed to what, 800?
Well, if you go 400, double that, that's another 3 dB. And then you double that to 1600, that's another 3 dB, so 6 dB. And 6 dB is like one S unit, so no, you'll never notice the difference. This is K2ZL.
Well, you may not notice it on HF. I can tell you, you noticed it in other places, but okay. Yep, yep. Absolutely. I think your advice is generally sound. Hey, welcome aboard, Jim. Since you're here, why don't you make some announcements about our upcoming March event?
Okay, I just got here, so I don't know what... I just caught the tail end of the discussion there, so I don't know what all you were talking about, but I just want to interject that comment that that's plenty of power. Let's see, the upcoming, we have a March 7th auction at the Westwood High School, same place we have our flea market, and it's open at 12 noon for sellers and 1 o'clock for buyers, and that's about it, back to that.
Okay, well, that was quick. Very, very good. Should be a lot of fun. That auction will be first Sunday of the month, so no confusion necessary for that one. And what else can I tell you about? We'll see. Who knows? let's see. Anybody else want to check in with a question, comment, confusion, or just to make your presence known, please call K2BAR.
KC2BAR, calling
K2BAR. KC2BOI, good evening. Question, comment, or confusion?
Yes, question. I just purchased a Yaesu FT450, and I'm having a devil of a time trying to understand the manual and tune it in.
An FT450, that's a nice radio, first of all. And, I've owned a lot of Yaesu gear, so, and it's their manuals. It's just their manuals. Oh, man. What's your question, Jim? Or how can we help you get it at least, you know, functional?
Well, the squelch has to be turned all the way up, and it's difficult listening in on tuning into stations.
Okay. Open it so there is no squelch. This is an HF radio, right?
That's correct.
Just as a starting point. So you've got the radio powered on. Put the volume in a comfortable setting. Turn the squelch so that it's not squelched at all. Turn the RF gain so it's all the way up, so it's very, very sensitive. Start with those readings. What kind of antenna do you have attached to it, and for what band is it cut?
I have a Titan multi-band antenna. It's up on the chimney.
something really novel. Can you get to the radio right now?
I'm right in front of it.
Roll up 7.178. Does that radio have a built-in antenna tuner, by the way?
That's correct.
Okay. Do you hear anything on 178?
I'm getting it. Wait a minute. Right here, 7.178.
Usual some chatter on 178 in, on 40 meters in the evening. That's a good place to start. And if you have no squelch, you have the audio at a comfortable level, and your RF gain is turned all the way up, so you have maximum sensitivity, that'll be a good start. And the other question would be, are you set for lower sideband?
It's on upper sideband right now.
Okay, you're at 40 meters, so 40 meters, you use lower sideband. 40, 80, or 75, and 160, you use lower sideband.
How do I change that? What was that again?
As you say, the drama continues. No problem, just take your time. Okie doke. Well,
how do I switch the sideband here?
Second, Jim. Any other stations checking into the net, please call K2BAR.
N3CRT.
All right, Charlie, N3CRT. Good evening to you, sir. How are you? Just here making noise, or do you have a comment or a question?
Making noise. Was listening in the car on my way home, and thought I'd come downstairs and plug the radio in.
And what radio and antenna are you using, Charlie?
The radio is my ICOM 910. I'm probably putting out about 80 watts. And I have I think it's a Comet dual band vertical from Hopatcon.
Good to mention, everybody, you're at Hopatcon. You probably can crank it back quite a bit in power. It's still full fighting. One thing I like about your, not just your, the acoustics of your shack and your radio is that your radio has a very spriteful sound. If anyone hears that, there are a lot of highs in Charlie's audio, and that's very, very useful. Not excessive highs, you know, not above 3,000, but there's a good number of highs. Charlie's voice is pretty low, so it's actually catching high frequency energy, and that's a good thing because that way you can have a little punch to your audio. So public service announcement for you, Charlie. Let's go back to Jim and see how he's doing. KC2VRY.
All right, I'm on the lower sideband now.
And are you hearing things?
Negative.
I'm in.
Go ahead, comment.
Yeah, it's nobody on 7178. How about 7.170? 7.170, there's some kind of a net going on.
7.170?
Just roll 8 kilohertz to your left, as it were.
I'm on there now.
And do you hear anything? Is your volume up that you hear static or is somebody talking?
The volume's all the way up. I got the gain turned all the way up and I could see the bar on the power level is coming up. So it looks like there's something out there.
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. If I turn it back to squelch, I can hear something.
Guys, turn your squelch the other way.
Turn it fully the other way so that goes away, so you hear audio.
It's talking on there now.
Radio, you don't want a squelch on, so you want to turn it so you get the signal, you get all that rushing sound right through to your head, okay? That's a beautiful sound. Where's the guy talking?
Oh, they stopped talking for a second. But, he should have heard some.
So do you have that squelch control now turned in the correct direction such that it's fully off?
Well, it's fully off. I don't hear anything. If I hear, if I turn the squelch, I get something.
So we're using the sense of off in opposite directions, meaning you're turning it such that you get a lot of hissing sounds, a voice, whatever. Fully on means you'll get nothing.
Okay, when it's to the left, I hear the squelching and the noise and the, you know, the hissing, and then I talk it.
Okay, that, turn it fully to the left, and that means the squelch is off. Can we have a sample?
Doesn't appear to be anybody talking right now.
Yeah, try 7163. 7163.
7163, I'm on there now.
I took my 7,000 out of the truck yesterday. Had a, if I,
all right, somebody's on there now.
Issue.
Yep, and you may or may not be able to hear both sides of the conversation, Jim, as there's a guy talking now, but I don't hear the guy he's talking to. So depending on the propagation, you know, how far away they are and whether that there's skip going on there, you may only hear one part of the conversation.
It's not very clear. I might have to tune it in a little bit.
One more.
They're not talking English, I don't think.
He's got an accent. It's SD3. So I guess that's Poland. Is that right? Sugar Papa 3. But he's speaking English. He's just got a heavy accent. You should try listening, like, during the day if possible on 20 meters. That's 14.2 or something like that. But that, you'll be able to hear more, or the lower frequencies, like 7 or 3 or, you know, even 1.8 in those ranges. That's the more popular frequencies at night.
So I pretty much have this hooked up right, the antenna's up right, and I did everything correctly.
Yep.
One more comment.
Ed?
Depending on the radio, Gordon, you know, his tuner inside the radio can have an effect on his received performance. So if it's got a built-in tuner, but he's not allowed to transmit, he should make sure that the tuner is out of line, I suppose, if he can't use it, and it has some effect on received performance. He should make sure that the tuner is off or out of line.
Jim, do you know how to take your tuner out offline?
Yeah, I just turned it off just now.
What happened to the background noise level when you did that? Okay, Jim, what happened to the background noise level when you took it out offline?
I don't think that changed much.
Depends on the radio.
Yeah, I know on my tuner, it acts as pre-selector. And I was going to get to that, but, you know, basically you can't transmit there, so it's a kind of a moot point. But anyway, bottom line is that with that in mind, it'll actually add a little bit of filtering of miscellaneous junk that you don't necessarily want to hear. But since you can't transmit, your best bet is to leave it out of line until you can. And you will notice a subtle difference. So once you can, you'll be able to do a quick calibration of your tuner, and it'll let it go through its automatic gyrations, and you'll have, shall we say, cleaner signals, or shall we say, limited signals hitting your receiver front end, and it'll clean up some of the background hash and stuff. Just a little bit, but every little bit helps. Anybody else have any comments?
But you're saying I should only leave the tuner on to transmit, but not to receive.
Are you a general?
No, not yet. I'm working on it, but haven't gotten it yet.
Well, once you're licensed to transmit, you can jolly well use it wherever you're licensed to transmit on and leave it on when you receive it. You'll be all the better for it. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, so right now I won't need the tuner then?
Right. You don't have a... The way those tuners work is they transmit a low-level signal to calibrate the tuner. You're not authorized to transmit there, so therefore you can't do that. So it will be mistuned and act as an attenuator, for lack of a better term, in some cases. If you're not using the frequency for which the tuner is tuned, it won't perform as well, you won't hear as well. So you're better off leaving it out of line until you can transmit there.
Okay, I got you. Thanks.
Thank Bennett, he brought the subject up before I could, but yeah, I just wanted to explain. What it's doing is it's sharpening what does come in, but you can't do that sharpening effect because you can't transmit in order to get the device aligned. It's an interesting question about antenna tuners, but anyway. I suppose you could have an antenna tuner that would have an oscillator, a low-frequency oscillator that would inject a signal, like a signal generator, into the front-end port of the radio, into the antenna terminals, and then automatically tune for maximum signal back through the matching network, back the other way. I suppose that would be close, assuming that the receiver impedance and the transmitter impedance are roughly the same. Ha, ha, ha. On a given frequency, ha ha ha, or being a given range of frequencies, ha ha ha, that's even more silly. It would probably be okay. Comments from anybody? KWAR. I'm hoping that would elicit some comments. But anyway, that's another way of tuning it without putting a signal on the air per se, instead of ejecting a frequency, a signal back down into the radio. All right. Any other questions, comments, confusions for the net?
Kilo 2 Zulu Charlie, a quick question.
Sir Dave, go ahead.
What if you're using an antenna analyzer to check out your antenna? Aren't you putting a signal on into your antenna to use it when you use that? Do you have to be licensed to check a certain frequency?
I'm a Part 15 device, so no problem.
Okay, well, that's my question.
Yeah, but the problem is that your type accepted, multi-hundred or multi-thousand dollar HF amateur radio transceiver is not a Part 15 device. It can't have one embedded in it, per se.
Comment?
Oh, well, here we go. Now I tempted the teapot. Go ahead, Jim.
Does that radio have the antenna tuner in the receive path during receive? My Kenwood doesn't.
I don't know about his Yaesu, but my ICOM does.
Some radios have the option, if you want it, in the path. I'm assuming now what the antenna tuner is in the radio.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I think I have the option of having it in or out, but I generally leave it in.
Of course, mainly for the transmitting, so... The receiving right now, Jim, I suggest that you just leave it out and just remember which sideband you need for whatever band you are. On the higher frequencies, we're upper sideband. On the lower frequencies, we're lower sideband.
Okay, thanks for that tip, Jim.
40 meters and down, or 7 megahertz and down, we use lower sideband, and 10 megahertz and up, we use upper.
Okay, very good.
Hey, here's a question for since we're here on the subject. What do you do, Jim, when you go to 40 meters, let's say, for CW? Do you use CW in the lower sideband side or CW in the upper sideband side? And then similarly, what do you do on 20?
My radio has the option of either one. I have a CWL and a CW up. In other words, CWU and CWL. So I can operate and listen on either side. Most radios go with the CW on the upper side there.
That's correct. Okay, very good. I thought I set mine up. The problem I find is when I'm on 40, I want to flip between modes real quick. I like to have it the other way, and so if I was setting up the radio, I would have it set up so that how do you want your CW for that band? Do you want it to be the upper side band? You know, do you want it to follow the upper, the sideband of use, or what? The other thing is there are some upper sideband guys on 40, and I know why they exist. But does anybody know it's a small group of folks who do it. But do you know why there are 40 meter sideband operators who use upper sideband? Anybody? Jim? Was that you, Jim? I have no idea. You have no idea you popped the passband. Okay. The reason is because they're all using military surplus gear and it's only got upper sideband.
Okay. Well, that would be a good excuse.
Yep. I came across them a couple of times and I realized, you know, that I didn't understand why they were doing this, so I said, okay. I had to ask. So I jumped in and switched sidebands, tuned them in, got everything fine, asked them. So I was the only guy with a radio that was not military of one form or another. Mostly older stuff, but there was some newer stuff too. It was amazing. But I think the guys who had newer stuff had the choice. They just, you know, followed it with the rest of the military radio users. Okie dokie. One other note, actually a couple of notes here. Tomorrow there's a come play at the Fairlawn Radio Club. It's open at around 7. Anyone wants to come, there's no business meeting. Sunday we have the Bergen County FM Association meeting at 7:30 at the Red Cross. And dues are $25 for the year. If you haven't given your Barra dues, you probably could bring it to that as well. Although, you might want to send your BCFMA dues in via mail or bring them to the Fairlawn Club tomorrow, oddly enough, while you're paying your Fairlawn dues. And then, I love January, February, it's a nutty thing. But on Sunday, you can go to the Chestnut Ridge Dinner if you make reservations for that. It's their annual meeting and dinner as well. Also, I think it's at 5 o'clock. You probably could go to that and then show up to the BCFMA meeting late. But anyway, Barra's treasurer, who's also Chestnut Ridge's treasurer, will be at the Chestnut Ridge dinner. And so you can pay your Barra dues and your Chestnut Ridge dues at the Chestnut Ridge dinner. And you probably can pay your Fairlawn dues and your BCFMA dues at the Fairlawn Radio Club and still run over to the BCFMA meeting after the Chestnut Ridge dinner on Sunday. Oh, I'd love to sing that. That was too much fun. I pay family dues for most of these memberships, plus the cost of the dinner, so, or two dinners a year, so, between Barra and Chestnut Ridge, so it's pretty fun. And usually we'd be away for the Fairlawn dinner in December, which is nice as well. I've been there a couple of times. Anyway, last but not least, there's a ham fest and breakfast, indoor ham fest on April 10th, which is a Saturday. And that will be over in Bergenfield. So it'll be a month after the Barra auction. So if you buy something at auction and you want to get rid of it at the ham fest, bring it on over. But if you also get a cheap breakfast too, there's stuff out there on that as well. Let's see, what else can I remind people about? I got a note later in March,
there's a Cherryville Hamfest. It's back, so it's after the Barra auction by a couple of weeks, I think 3 weeks, 2 weeks, something like that, and before the Printer Crew 73 Hamfest. So all sorts of stuff. It's that season of the year again. It's a beautiful thing. Any other questions, comments, technical quandaries, whatever, or just administrative questions, please call KTBAR.
KO2, okay.
Ed Bennett.
Yeah, one more comment on Jim's radio, the FT-450. Taking a look at the owner's manual for it, and there is a menu function to switch whether or not the transmit, only the transmitted signal goes through the tuner, or whether it passes both transmit and receive signals through the ATU-450, which is the internal antenna tuner. So that's a menu function on page 88, Jim. If you want to take a look at that, you should have it so that it only passes the transmitted signal through the ATU-450, okay? Not both transmit and receive, as you are only using that radio for receiving, and you don't want the signal to have passed through the antenna tuner. So if you can, take a look at page 88 there at the bottom. With that, to back to net. KO2, okay.
Thanks for that tip, Bennett. I'm here on page 88 now. I think I'll bring this book with me Sunday night. Maybe we can take a look at it.
Just make sure you turn it back on once you get there. Get your license upgraded.
Yeah, okay.
UJEK.
Mr. Don, go right ahead.
Yeah, just announcing that we are having a test session tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at the Westwood Regional High School. Back to net, W2JEK.
Thank you. I knew that was trying to remember something. It was one other thing I'd forgotten, and I apologize. There'll also be another one of those in April on Friday night, the 9th, in Bergen Field as well. So I'm doing an all-day tech course that night, or that day. Oh, dear me. All right. Any other uses that, you know, wonderful contributions to the net?
Don't we have a test session in March? I thought I saw that.
We do.
Yeah, I may be going for that one, March.
Our regular test session that Barra runs will be the 19th of March. The one that Gordon's speaking of on the 12th is the one that follows his all-day tech course. But the regular Barra VE will be on the 19th of March. Back to that, W2JK.
What's the one in April?
I think I'm going to try for the one in March.
I think that the one in April is also, in addition to the special one in Bergen Field, I think the one in April is, unless there's a calendar change, is probably the 19th.
April 16th. April 16th is the Barra test session in April. Over.
Thank you. Okay, so there we go. That's right, 16th, you're right. I can't add. Don't mind me. All righty. Any other questions, comments, confusions?
Jim, those test nights are in the same room where we hold pit nights?
A test session is in room 123 on the other side.
All right, but in the same hallway, though.
Instead of going in the door we go in, you go in the other door that's to the left, and it's the first room there on the right.
Okay.
Alrighty. I'd like to just check, is N3CRT still on frequency?
Yep, I'm still here, N3CRT.
You got a little bit of a hiss on your signal. Did you lower your power?
Yes, I did. That's about 50 watts right now.
Okay, can you go down to like 5 watts?
Come in.
He can, but doesn't have any power up, but what he does.
Come in.
Go ahead.
I'd like to hear what microphone he's using. He and I are using the same radio. And if you can comment on our voice or audio differences, I'm using an SM8 desk mic. Curious as to what he's using for a microphone.
I was actually going to compliment you on your audio as well, Bennett. It's just outstanding. I mean, it really is. It's got some decent amount of highs without overbearing. It's punchy. It's what I call perky or spriteful.
5 watts, you didn't hear me.
I heard that. We didn't hear you. So how many watts are you running again now, Charlie?
Oh, let's see, 50, 40, 30, 20.
The 20 watts is where he disappeared.
40, 50.
Now you disappeared somewhere between 25 and 20 watts.
Okay, and is there a hiss on the signal right now?
Yeah, a little bit, but nothing objectionable.
Okay, and for Bennett, I'm using the Heil ICM. And I use the boom, the Heil boom, and the microphone's probably about 8 inches from my mouth right now, and I'm talking in a comfortable interpersonal communication, conversation voice and volume level. I also have here, I have the ICSM6, if anybody wants to do an audio comparison, I don't know. And 3CRT.
Go ahead. Treat us.
Okay, I have to unhook it and unhook my foot switch and everything and hook it up, so I'll be just a minute.
Hey, you're gonna laugh. I noticed in my shack that with all the clutter that I've added to it, that the room is not as hollow as it used to be. And there's a certain warmth to the audio, which is fine, except I'm trying to get some punch out of some things. So I want that hollow sound. Not hollow like you're in a barrel or talking through a tube, but there's a slight little echo on your signal. It's not on Bennett's, but it's both of you have spriteful audio. KO2OK, take it. K2BAR.
Okay. KO2OK returning. Well, I'm just curious, because I don't know what this radio sounds like, and if our audios were similar, just, of course, you know what our different voices sound like, if they sound natural or not. I didn't want to hold it. I'm back to that. KO2OK.
Sorry, Bennett, I missed your last.
I'm sorry, say again.
I missed your last transmission.
I didn't say a whole lot. I'm just saying, I was just curious as to, an opinion by somebody, a third party, from listening to people you know what they sound like, and you know that they're using the same radio and the differences are the microphone. That's all.
KC2BRY, you sound the same to me, Bennett.
Thank you.
Both very, very full in your audio, and I would argue that you don't have the echo sound that Charlie has, because you're not in quite the cavernous basement space that he's in. Why don't you describe the, I don't know which microphone you're using. You're not using a Heil on a boom, obviously. But what are you using? What, maybe you describe your shack surroundings, too, a little bit, spatially.
What?
Yes.
KO2, okay. Oh, a bunch of you have been down here. It's an old house. It's a 1909 originally built house. And only half the house has a basement. So, I'm in a corner of it, on a little computer table with, an HF radio next to the, VHF radio. And, it's unfinished. So, I do have a TV on the way in the background. And I don't have the compressor on, so hopefully you don't hear it.